We're here on Daf Chavavam and Aleph, and we're approximately 8 lines down from the top, Tana. And what we're discussing is the Mishnah of someone who finds an object that was deliberately hidden in a Kosel Chadosh, and the Mishnah establishes that it depends, you know, where we find the object, whether it was Chetzio, live bifnim, and then it belongs to the Baal Bayis, chetzin lebichutz, and then we assume he came from one of the Bnei Rish Sarab, and therefore Arelu Shalot Tano. We learned in a Braisa, im hoya kosel mimula mehen. Let's say the object which doesn't have a handle or straps, like a gush, a clump of silver, or for example, we had the case of wool. If it was placed in this char in such a way that it filled the char from side to side, chalkim, then the finder has his claim that it was placed there by the Bnei Rish Sarab, and therefore it's his. The Baal HaKosel claims he put it there in this Kosel Chadosh situation, and it's therefore it's his. And we have two people vying for the same for ownership on the same object. We don't know what to do with it, so the Braisa establishes Cholkin. We split it down the half. It's very reminiscent of the Mishnah at the beginning of our Perek of Shnayim Oksim Vitalis, Cholkim Yachloku. So Gemara says, Pshita. Certainly, if there's no way of proving whether this was the Bnei Rish Sarabim who put it there, or it was the Baal HaKosel who put it there, whether therefore it belongs to the finder or it belongs to the Baal HaKosel. So obviously, what you do in such a case, cut your losses, you do Yachloku. And the Gemara therefore postulates Pshita, Lo Tzricha de Meshapa Bechad Gisa. We're talking about a kosel that tilts in a certain direction. Anything you put in the kosel will slide downwards. Mao de Tema Ishtefuche Ishtefuch. I might assume that since the kosel is tilted, is slanted, therefore, anything that was placed in it went, you know, slid down. And we should give the object to the person who has the higher point of this char. So let's say, for example, if the for argument's sake, if the kosel tilts towards the bias, then we'll award this object that was found to the finder because we assume that it was originally placed on the outside, on the chetzio mi bachutz. If on the other hand, the kosel is tilted towards the Rishus Aram, then we're going to award the object, the chevitz, to the Baal HaKosel, because we're going to assume that since his side is higher, that's where he placed the object into the char of the kosel, and it slid downwards. Kamash Malan, the vice wants to teach me, no, we're going to say yachloku. Now, on this point, we have to discuss a very interesting chidush. That's what I want to point out to you. The Gemara starts with pshita. If we don't know whether it's, you know, b'vifnim, b'chutz, we split it between the motzi and the Baal HaKosel. And the Gemara says that's simple. They're both really muchzakim bo, and in the case where two people are muchzakim, each one claims ownership, that's called yachloku. So Rikivega doesn't understand what the Gemara means by pshita here. On the contrary, he says, in this case, there's no pshita at all. Why? Adarabi says, we should have assumed that the finder should certainly keep it. Why? Because he is exclusively the muchzak. The chazak is his. There's no marakama. We don't know that it belonged to anyone beforehand. And therefore, if we don't have the possibility of utilizing muchzakus, meaning cheskes marakama, then we can only fall back on the tfisa, on the grabbing onto something. Right? He's holding on to the object, the finder. The finder found it. He's keeping it close to his chest. Oh, so you could say that the Gemara's pshita is based on the assumption that the Baal HaKosel also has a din of muchzak. And really, each one has a din of muchzak. And why would you argue that the premise of the Gemara is that the Baal HaKosel is muchzak? The answer is because the Rosh says famously at the beginning of Masechta Bav Metzia that if a hefker, an object of hefker, was thrown through a bias, then the Baal bias is zocher, he becomes muhsak. And we discussed this in the past. You know, the birds that traveled through the sodeh, and the birds were hefker, the Baal sodeh is koneh. And here too, let's assume that the object was placed there by the Bnei Rishu Sarabim. Forget about the motzi who finds it. If the object was placed there by the Bnei Rishu Sarabim, then it's once is yeish, it becomes a cheftishal hefker, and the Bala Kosel is kona. Says Rabbi Kivega, that can't be. That could not be the underlying premise of this Gemara, because here there's no such thing as being zochen something through your chotzer, through your kosel, when it's eno omid li motze. As we said in the name of Tosus here, Dira Maskel Shasich, the ein chotzer kona b'dover sheyachol liyo shalo yimotze liyolam. And it's possible here that he'll never find it. Therefore, he's not koneh with his chatzer. So clearly, the one muksuk that we have here, since there's no marakama, is the motzi. And the chiddush of the Mishnah, Adarav, the maskona of the Mishnah has to be understood. The maskona of the Mishnah says that since there is a possibility, in this case of a kosel chadash, that the object was placed there by the bala kosel, correct? Because it's mamula mishnei atzadim, then he has at least a din of a suffix muhsak. That you have to grant it because it was his and he placed it there. Kivega puts all the emphasis on the status of the object as hefker, and the possibility of the Bala Kosel claiming his rights to be zocheb midin hefker shenizrak letoch beiso shel adam, which would make him to a muhsak. And Rabbi Kivega therefore stands up adamantly and rejects that because it's not omid li motzei. That's fine. Rabbi Kivega is correct from the perspective of hefker, but what we're trying to insist here is that there's a very logical possibility here that the muhsakus of the Bala Kosel is based on the fact that he was the one who placed the object there. Because again, what the Bryce is saying is Hayakosa Mamula Mehen is Cholkim. And it's very possible that the Bala Bias here is claiming that he was the one who put the object there, as we said, even though again there's you know, the rusty, corroded nature of the object really seems to point the direction of the Amorium, but there is a possibility that it was placed there from the Avi Avosov, you know, his ancestors back to the time of Kibush Yoshua. But it was post-Amorium and post-Kibush Yoshua. So he does have a claim in which he has a Sufik Marakama, he has a Sufik Muzakus. It's not that his chutz has to be kona from Hefker, but rather it's his object from the get-go. He inherited it from his forefathers, and it's in his Rishus, it's in his Kosel. In any event, Reb Shmuel is being quoted here. This was the Chiddush that I wanted to share with you, that the pshita here of the Gemara is based on the fact that the premise of Kriega that the motzi is the exclusive muhsak, and therefore we would have said a motzi mechavel raya to the Bala Kosel. That's not so, says Reb Shmuel. Based on the Tosfos at the beginning of Baba Basra, there's a concept called tfisa liachar shenolad asofek. Says Reb Shmuel, there are two stages here. There's finding the mitzia, and there's lifting up the mitzia and grabbing onto it. At what point was the suffix nolad? Again, we didn't know about the existence of this object that was hidden inside this kosel chadosh. We didn't know about it. And at one point in time, we'll call it time T1, the suffix arises as to who owns this? Who owns this object? At what point does that T1 kick in and the suffix is nolad? That's at the point when the mitzia was found, so to speak, was seen. You know, there's a mitzia. You know, the person from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbah walks by and he says, look, there's an object. At that moment, he hasn't even picked it up yet. There's already a suffix. Who does it belong to? Because it's Mamale, it goes through the entire Char. So does it belong to the Bnei Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, who put it there, or one of the Bnei, or does it belong to the Balakosel? That's already suffix. Now, the Motzi, after the suffix is nullified and he emerges, he grabs onto the object. That doesn't give him a tefisa, because Tosus points out at the beginning of Bava Basra in the famous sugya of a kosel shel shutfim, and we don't know who built the kosel, and the avonim fall into someone's rishus, that person into whose rishus the avonim fell is not called a tofes. He doesn't have a muzakas because it's after the latest asafik, meaning as soon as the wall fell down at the beginning of Bava Basra, there already is a safek who built that wall, who owns the stones of the wall. You can't be tofei something after the latest hasafek. Here too, once the metzia has been revealed, so to speak, it's now in the veld, you know, as a metzia, it was found, then even before you grabbed onto it, Mr. Motzi, it was already a safek. It was already an objective safek. To whom do we award this object, this metzia? The Beis Meir goes a step further, and he wants to say that this all depends upon the sugya on here about metzia of davavim and beis of tok for kohen. And it's one by the Omer who says, Tok for Kohen, Ein Motzi in Miyado. And the reason why Ein Motzi in Miyado, when the Kohen grabs the Safik Bechar, is because he becomes a Muchsak Misafik. And what our Gemara is trying to establish, and it's a Chiddush, is that we don't apply the principle of Tok for Kohen and accept that opinion of Ein Motzi in Miyado, but rather Motzi in Miyado, and we create a yachloku situation. So the mao de tema and the pshit and the havamina was that, it's tuk for kohen ein motzi miyado. But the Gemara answers, no, we don't have to go with that mandiyam. Or alternatively, the Gemara wants to say that even if you hold tuk for kohen ein motzi miyado, this tefisa is not enough to be upgraded to the status of a tuk for kohen kind of tefisa. And the reason for that is because he wasn't tofes Mirshus Bailim, right? He took it out of a char, which was Samach Lushus Arabin. He doesn't have a Tainus Vada, he only has a Tainus Shema. So there are many different deficiencies here in his Tefisa, and it's not like the case of Tok for Kohen. And therefore, Yachloku. Now, the Gemara says here that we mao de temish tefuche ish tefuch. I would have said in the Havamina that the kosel, since it is on a slant, therefore we should award it to the person who's on the higher level of this slant. And There's a very interesting point that I want to make to embellish this, and that is the following. Let me say the following. What was pressing the Gemara and the Hava, if we go back to the Mao de Tema, to assume that this object would have, since it's on a higher level, would have slid down, and it was left by the person on the higher level. The Ritva adds a few words here. He says, "Ein derech lemalos esachar mitzad al tzad." He says that we would like to assume that at one point in time, according to the Mao de Tema, the object was on one side or the other. And here's where the ishtefuch comes to play. That's going to tell me on which side it was originally. Now it's taking up both areas. And he says, why is it so that we assume it came from, and it was placed out in the higher area, and then it slipped down? He says, because a person, when he deliberately puts something into a char of a kosel, he wants to put it in a secure place. If he places it in a way that it's accessible from both sides, then it's really not secure. It's open to takers from here and there. It's more logical that it would have been placed on one side, so at least it's secure from the other side. Right? So the Baal Bais would have placed it on his half, and it's secure from the others. The Bnei Rish Saram would have placed on their half, so that it's secure from the Baal Bais. And now we're finding it right smack in the middle, you know, equidistant from both openings. And the answer is because the Kosel subsequently at some point became tilted, the leaning Tower of Pisa, and therefore we assume that it slid down and it ended up landing in the middle, equidistant between the two openings. Now, the last case in the Mishnah is Im Hoya Maskir L'Acherim. If, let's say, the owner of the Kosel, and for that matter, the owner of the Bayis, is a renter, not a renter, he's landlord, and he has many tenants. So in this case, if you find something, it's Hare Elu Shalo. In other words, you cannot clarify which of the various renters over the last period of time may have lost it. And if there's no way of clarifying that, then the Bailim are Mesiyash. Again, I don't know, you have to discuss the possibility of a Simon, and Bali Nether will hopefully be able to touch on that issue a little bit later. Oh, so the Gemara says, Vamai, Lazel Basar Basra. Now again, the Gemara didn't raise the question of a Simon. Tosa Rush says that maybe the Gemara is assuming that the Mishnah is talking about a case of Dov Shein Bo Simon. But nevertheless, the Gemara certainly could have asked the question of Notel Umakris, not perhaps in the classical case of Simon, because maybe we're talking about a Dov Shein Bo Simon, or according to the Ritva, actually, it has a Simon, so certainly the Gemara could have asked Notel Umakris. But even if it doesn't have a Simon, then perhaps amongst the various Sochrim, you know, over the last period of time, you know, there were three renters, and it belongs to one of the three. We can work it out between the three. So if you find it, you know, figure out which of the renters. There's no reason to assume Yeush. But the Gemara asks a different question. And the Gemara's question is, Vamai, if you want to know which of the renters it is Lazel Basa Basra. We have halacha that if various people were there in sequence, we assume that anything that's found was placed there and relates to the last one who was there. And if you take a look at Rashi, Divra Maskel Hocha, Rashi says at the end of the skinny lines, beginning of the wide lines, V'nema Achronim Shachachu. We should really assume that the last renters were the ones who forgot the object behind. And the Gemara is going to prove that from a Mishnah in Shkolim. Tosus, on the other hand, Divra Maskel V'nezel Basav Basra, writes, Hainu Balabayis. The Gemara's question was not the last of the renters, but we should definitely award it to the owner of the house. The Mistamali Olam Hu Dar Babayis Im HaSochrim. That the renters live in a certain part of the house, and the Balabayis at the same time lives in another part of the house. V'ter Shaholchu Chipsu Chafzeim. And before they packed out, they certainly looked through, you know, the entire house. They tried to find, they cleaned it up, you know, they combed it to make sure, to guarantee that they didn't forget anything behind. I mean, whenever you leave a hotel, that's what you have to do. V'ein litlos hametziah she'isha lahem. Once we assume that they did a thorough checkup before they left, then we have to assume that what was left behind was not theirs. Ela b'bala bayis she'u adayin nishar b'beiso b'achrona. And this will make it exactly equivalent to the case of Mos that were found in the Mishnah in Shkolim. And the Chasdei David on the Tosefta says that really there's no machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. I mean, they may have different interpretations of the Gemara's kasha over here, Lazel Basa Basra. Are we talking about the Socher, the last one to rent it, or are we talking about the Baal Bayis? You know, was there a Baal Bayis living there or not? That's a question of parshanut, of how to interpret this Gemara, but there's no machlokas ledina. Rashi would also agree that if the Baal Bayis is there, he's living together with the Sochrim, and the Sochrim did their checks, you know, their due diligence, they left, they combed the area, and now the object that's found, certainly in the Gemara's Kasha, should belong to the Balabayas. Milos Nan, didn't we in fact learn in a Mishnah? Let's just give a little bit of background to this Mishnah. This halacha of Maisa Sheni, the produce of Maisa Sheni has to be eaten in Yerushalayim, in Tara and Kedusha. Now those who are far from Yerushalayim, they do what's called a pigeon of Maisa Sheni onto Kesef. And then they take those mos, which now have the sanctity of Maisa Sheni, they bring it up to Yerushalayim. The fruits that were originally tithed or separated as Maiser now are Chulin, the Kesef now is Kadosh, and the Kesef has to be spent on Maichel Umeshke, on food and drink, and eaten in Yerushalayim, B'Kedushas Maser. And what does the Mishnah say? Mos Shenimsu Lifnei Socher Behema Liola Maser. The people would come with these mos of Maisa Sheni, that had Kedushas Maisa Sheni by virtue of the pidgin and the chilul of Paris Maisa Sheni onto these mos. They would buy animals, and it was quite common to buy animals because they would bring those animals as shlomim, as a voluntary offering onto the Mizbeach. That's what they did with the mos Maisa Sheni. So they were standing on line in front of the animal sellers, you know, the Sokre Behema, and they dropped their mos before they got to make the purchase and clinch the deal on a behema. And those mos, therefore, have Kedushas Maser Sheni, which is exactly what the Mishnah establishes, that if you find a Lifnei Sochre Behema, then that's Kedushas Maser Sheni. Because, again, you know, it's not a shayach for the person, you know, while he's in, you know, while he's in Yerushalayim, to eat up all, you know, Kesef Maser Sheni could be a substantial amount of money, and he's not going to be able to spend all that money while he's in Yerushalayim. He basically leaves the money in the hands of his friends or of poor people, let them eat it B'Kedushas Maser and spend that money. And the usual, you know, purchase with Dmei Maisa Sheni is Behemoth L'Korban Shlomim. And therefore, when you find Mos, Lifnei Socher Behema, we have to assume that they fell from the buyers, one of the buyers, and therefore they have a Chezkas Meiser Sheni. Now, the obvious question here is, why not assume they fell from the sellers? Meaning, the buyers bought the animal, they gave the money, Tmura, you know, as payment, as exchange for the animal, and now the money, which has Kedushas Maser Sheni, is in the hands of the Socher. But now it doesn't have Kedushas Maser Sheni because the Kedushas Maser Sheni was transferred from the Mos at the moment that they were given over to the seller onto the Behema that was swapped. You know, it was exchanged for the Mos Maser Sheni. So what the status of the Mos now in the hands of the Socher, of the seller, is Chulin Gomor. Because Neschal Kedushasam Kedushasam Maser Al Behema. So we don't know who dropped it. Now you could say that, well, there's more of a statistical probability that it was dropped by the buyers because there are many buyers connected one seller. You know, this one seller will have a long, long line of buyers in front of him. So where from whence did these coins fall? You know, you have a pocket and it might have a hole in it. Well, here you have, you know, 100 people waiting online with Mos Maisa Sheni in their pocket. There's a very high statistical probability that one of these 100 had a hole in his pocket and he dropped it. And Rashi, to our surprise, in Masechta Pesachim, says that the reason why we assume that any Mos that you find in this proximity of the Socher Behema is Maisa Sheni is because of Sofek Do'oraisa Sofek Isu L'chumra. Tosis in Pesachim Adav Zayin says that the Mocher is a Yochid, the Konim are Rabim, is Holchim, Holchim Achar HaRov. Perhaps Rashi learns that Rov is not just statistical probability, it's a Chal Hashem Rov, it has its own halachic definitions and regulations, and you don't look at the number of people who are carrying around Mos, you look at the Mos, and you ask yourself, what you know, what's the nature of these mos? And there are two possibilities. They're either mos meiser or mos sheneschalu kvar kedushasam al behema. Did they come from the buyers or from the seller? And that creates, according to Rashi, a real suffix. You know, we cannot pin it on the rove. But the suffix is on the mos themselves. What is the nature of these mos? And once the suffix is chal on the mos, there's no rove over here. We're going to have to say sveka the surah lechumra. So that's as far as mos that are found in front of Sokri Behema. Now, Behara Bayis, supposing, you know, people came up three times a year for the Aliyah L'Regel onto the Harabayis, and they had mos in their pack, which they lost on the Harabayis, is chulin. Then those mos, if we find them, we have a right to assume are chulin. Meaning the kesef that fell from one of the Olei Regel on the Harabayis, what was the nature of that kesef? You know, if we're talking about Rov Hashana, forget about the Zman Aliyah L'Regel, then the Olei Regel are carrying mos of Chulin in their pockets. I'm sorry. If we're talking about the whole year round and not the time of the Olei Regel, then the people who go onto the Arabayis are carrying Chulin in their pocket. If we're talking about the Zman Regel, then you might assume that the Olei Regel who are going on to the Harabayis, they are carrying Mos Meiser Sheni. Well, maybe yes, maybe no. But nevertheless, perhaps the Mos that we find on the Harabayis came from an earlier period of time. They were dropped there not during the Aliyah L'Regel period of time, but Kodem Zman HaRegel. And that's Rov Hashanah. And if we go Basa Rov Hashanah, then most of the coins going on to the Harabayis during the balance of the year, the entire year, leaving out the Shalosh Regalim, are Chulin. And if we have a right to assume it's Chulin. However, B'Yerushalayim, if it's B'Sharyim Mos Hashana Chulin, but B'Shas HaRegel HaKol Maser. So in Yerushalayim, if you find Mos, it depends what time of the year you find it. The Mishnah establishes that B'Sharyim Mos Hashana, during the balance of the year, it's chulin. The most are becheskes chulin. I mean, most of the most people are carrying around in the city of Yerushalayim during the year are chulin. But b'shas haregel, hakol meiser, all the most are becheskes meiser, because most of the most in the city are meiser. Now, we're going to get back to Yerushalayim in just a second, but first let's ask the following question. Even if the mos are chulin, nevertheless, why is it that when you find these mos, you can pocket them? Why isn't there a kinyan of what we call a kinyan chotzer on the Harabayis itself? Meaning, we said that on the Harabayis, you know, we assume the mos are chulin. And that's okay. But nevertheless, the Harabayis has a din of a chotzer shel hegdesh, and this is based on a Ramban in Bava Basra, and there's a kinyan chotzer lehegdesh. So the Ketzos comes up with a real fascinating chiddush. He wants to suggest that once it fell into the Rishus hegdesh before Yeush, meaning we have to assume the possibility that immediately when the person dropped these mos, inadvertently he was unaware of the fact that he had dropped the mos. He's going to find out pretty soon. But the mos fell onto the Arabayis, onto the Chotzer, or the Rishus of Hegdesh, before Yeush. And that's called the Isura Asiliyadu, and therefore the Kinyan of Hegdesh, of the Chotzer of Hegdesh, will not be Chal. Now, we had discussed earlier the case where you find a metzia in a gal and you are allowed to keep it for yourself. Why is it that the Baal HaGal is not called a b'chotzer? And according to one shita, which is identified with the Mordechai, chotzer can't be kone for something that he has no idea that it's there. And if that be the case, if that's the reason why the Baal HaGal is not kone, that logic doesn't apply in the case of Hegdesh. In a gal, we say that he's not kone v'chotzer because he doesn't have any idea that there's some lost object that fell into his chotzer. But in the case of Hegdesh, to say that the Hegdesh had no idea that these mos would fall onto the floor of the Harabayis, which is a chotzer of Hegdesh, that logic doesn't apply. So that, again, if you want to say that perhaps when somebody lost something in someone else's gal or kosel, well, that's called Isura Osiliyad, and therefore the Balachot is not Kona B'yeish, rather the Motzi is Kona, fine. That's called Isura Osiliyad. And that would apply equally to the case of Harabais. But if you're saying that the reason why the Balagal is not Kona is not because he's Suras Eliyade, but because he has no idea in a million years that there's something in his Chatzar, in his Gal, that logic doesn't apply in the case of Hegdesh. There's no Chisaron of Lohaya Aldaitam Shal Hegdesh Liknos. But perhaps we can answer the following. Hegdesh has no chiyuv shmira. The yesodas of bisur asil yado is that once a person picks up a lost object, he's chayiv in shmira on behalf of the baal hachefetz, and therefore, if he already obtained the object, he possessed the object and picked it up, and he's chayiv in shmira. And therefore, he's an extension of the yad of the bialim. Therefore, yeish doesn't work. It's asi liyade beisur. But in the case of Hegdesh doesn't have a chiyuv of hashavas aveda. There's no chiyuv shmir that we can impose on Hegdesh, and therefore, it was never beisura asi liyade. And if that be the case, we're back to square one. Why can't Hegdesh be kona this mitzia, these mos? And one of the achronim about mitzia, the Mayan HaChokhmah, is so impressed by this question that he really wants to reinterpret this Mishnah in Chulin. And when it says Bahar Abayis Chulin, it doesn't mean that anyone could come and pocket these mos as a motzi, because they belong to Hegdesh, insofar as the status of the Harabayis is that of Chatzah Shel Hegdesh, and Chatzah Shel Hegdesh can be koned this mitziah before anyone else is koned. And the Isur Asiliyad doesn't apply because there's no Chiyuv Hashava on the part of Hegdesh. The concept that a Chatzah has to have, the Bala Chatzah has to have some knowledge of the fact that it's there, you know, Sheyovo, you know, Lahalos B'dayt, that doesn't apply to Hegdesh. And therefore the Mayan HaChokhmah is saying that the Mishnah is just telling me that it's Chulin, meaning that there's no Me'ila in these Mos. Not that anyone could come along and take it for themselves. It's Mamon Hegdesh without Me'ila. And the Ramban in fact says that there is a Kinyan Chatzah to Hegdesh, but nevertheless that Kinyan Chatzah does not generate an Isa Me'ila. So we're really getting into some very heavy issues over here. Now, as far as the city of Yerushalayim, B'Shar Yemos HaShana, where we said it's Chulin, we have a famous Kasha here, a world-class Kasha, the Mishnah Melchin Me'ila, and he says that Mos Meiser is what's called a Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin. So you want to say Rov Yemos HaShana, most of the Mos during the balance of the year are Chulin, and therefore you can assume that these Mos are Mos Chulin, B'Shar Yemos HaShana. But wait a minute, there were also some Mos Meiser in Yerushalayim, even B'Shar Yemos HaShana, that got left over and might have gotten lost and he found it. Elo, what, you're going to rely on Rov? But we don't apply the principle of Rov in a Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin. And since you could take these Mos and eat them because you saw some Yerushalayim, it's a Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin. The Ran in Beitza, towards the end of the Masecht, actually vacillates back and forth whether the halach of Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin applies exclusively to Bittul Barov in a Taroves, or does it apply to be Mafkir the entire Aloch of Rov, and Ein Olchem Achar Rov, which probably means that Bittul is one Alocha, and as Lina Basarub is another Alocha, Bittul is Aloch in which Heter is Mevatel Isur, that's called Bittul, but Heter doesn't have the power to Mevatel Isur if the Isur itself is Heter, that's a Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin, but that has no implication as far as Rov, but the Ran has a tzad to say that why rely on Rove? Because again, the Ran is assuming that Rove is not a birura sofik, but rather it's a hachrasa. So why be machria sofik when you could be machmir and you could eat it b'kedushas maser? And if that be the case, according to that side in the Ran, we're really in trouble. Why does the Mishnah establish in Shkolim that in Yerushalayim Shayimos Hashana we can assume that most chulim we don't have to be machmir to eat them b'kedusha b'Yerushalayim as most meiser? Why not? It's a davar sheyesh lo matirin v'laz lina basaruba. So Rabbi Kivega offers the teretz that these mos have a cheskas heter because before you designated them for chilul peros ma'aser sheni and they became kedusha, they became sanctified with kedusha ma'aser sheni, they were mos chulin, and we can combine the chazaka together with the rov even in a case of a davar sheyesh lo matirin. I heard once from my Rebbe in the name of Rabbi Moshe, of his father Rabbi Moshe Salvechik, that ma'aser sheni is not a davar sheyesh lo matirin, because a davar sheyesh lo matirin means there's a chalos matir. Havol Yerushalayim is not a chalos matir. It means the Torah only asered these mos, so this ma'aser sheni, in Bisharecha outside of Yerushalayim. There was never an iser of achila in Yerushalayim, so that's not a davar sheyesh lo matirin with a chalos matir. Fine. Omar Rab Shmaya Bar Ze'era, my time, why do we assume that in Yerushalayim, during the time of the regal, the most of Ma'aser Sheni, why don't you use the Rov and apply it even during your most regal, as far as Yerushalayim is concerned? The answer is, Ho'el Vishuke Yerushalayim Asuyim Liskavi B'chol Yo. So Rav Shmaya's chiddush here is that since they clean the streets of Yerushalayim on a daily basis, they found any mos that were lost there during the process of kibud. And again, I don't know if they found the large matbeos or maybe the smaller matbeos, I don't know. But the assumption is that any matbeah that I find in Yerushalayim came from today. Alma, the Gemara says, you see from Rav Shmaya, then Amrina, we apply the principle of Kami Kamoi Ozlu V'Ani Achrini Ninu. We assume that the original mos that were there earlier at the time of, let's say, at the time of the regel, were all cleaned up and they were taken away. And Hani, these mos that I find now are mos Achrini, are different mos. And we're going to be Makil on that basis to assume Azlina Basa Basra, to be mekil and assume b'shar yemos hashana chulin, even though again there's some mos that were certainly clearly mos ma'aser sheni, is hachanami. If we apply that to our Mishnah, kama kama ozil, you know, those renters who were there and may have lost something, those were found, you know, because each renter before he checks out, he looks around, and sometimes he's lucky and he sees something that was left behind by an earlier renter. Vahani, but now we find a mitzia in the hotel room is the basra, who it certainly belongs to the last renter. So why does the Mishnah say that the finder keeps it for himself, finders keepers? Why not assume that it belongs to the, and return, it should be returned to the last, the final renter, Azlina and Basar Basra? This is how Rashi interprets the sugya Dibra Maskil Hacha. Hacha nami stam socher bais kshu yotze mechapis kol azov yisot v'shalov yotze v'neim achronim shachachu, because ilu arishonim shachu kfar motzu achronim. It's exactly like the case of shuke Yerushalayim asuyim liskavi v'chol yom. Tosvis divra maskel v'nezil says that the Gemara's kash is that this Aveda, as we mentioned earlier, should belong to the Baal Bais, because the last renter to check out, he found and he cleaned out everything of his. The Baal Bais is still living there in the house, and it belongs to the Baal Bais. Amar Reish Lakim Shubar Kapara Kigon Sha'asa'o Funduk Lishlosha Yisrael. Amar Reish Lakim Shubar Kapara Kigon Sha'asa'o Pundak Lishlosh Yisrael. That was the last line that we had. I'm sorry, we had a little distraction here, a little interruption, but we're back to this Reish Lakish in the name of Bar Kapora. There are three people living in a hotel room, sharing a room, and one of them lost a sela, and the one who lost it is Misyaish. He thinks that probably one of the other two roommates of his has pocketed this sela, is not willing to return it. And therefore, the yesh is a given, and there's no reason to raise the issue of vaselina and basa basra. The Gemara says, Shmamina, should we derive from this that halachic Reb Shimon ben Elazar afilu rov Yisrael? If a person loses something in a place where there are other people around, then he's misyayish, even if they're Yisraelim, because the assumption is that the Yisraelim are not going to return an aveda to him. Back on Daf Chav Daled, the Gemara had a suffix, was vacillating back and forth. And if you recall, the Gemara on Daf Chav Daled had a brisa. V'chein hayu Reb Shimon ben Elazar omer ha-motzi b'sratya b'flatya g'dola b'chol mokum sh'arab metzuyim sh'arayel shalom b'nei sh'abayla misyashim ahem. And the Gemara had a suffix. Does Reb Shimon ben Elazar speak about the case of dafka metzuyim, rov metzuyim are nachrim, or even a place of Ruby Yisrael? And Reb Shimon ben Elazar, even in a case of Ruby Yisrael, would say that harayel shalom is yeyush. That's only, again, in Makom Sharab Mitzuyim Sham. Here we're talking about a fundak. And the Gemara is making an equation here between a fundak and an inn, which is not Harbi Mitzuyim Sham, and Rabbi Mitzuyim Sham. Apparently, it's all based on the same concept. The Yeush is engendered by the fact of Anoshim B'nei Adam She'enam Mehuganim, that aren't going to return lost items. And the logic here in the case of Funduk is that the owner of the Sela, well, first of all, the owner of the inn who rents out his hotel rooms to various guests, he doesn't know who these people are. And therefore, if a person is a guest and there are other guests around, he thinks that maybe there are Anoshim Sheinam Uganim, and that should be indicative of the same concept as Rov or Harbei Mitzuyim Sham in the case of Rov Yisrael. And the halacha here seems to be accepted in our Mishnah. Again, if our Mishnah, according to Bar Kapor, is the case of Shlosha Yisraelim in a Fundak Echad, seems to reflect the halacha of Yeush in a case of Rov Yisrael. And the Gemara doesn't want it. The Gemara is hesitating, is inhibited to say that we paskin like Reb Shimon ben Elazar in Rov Yisrael. That's going a bit far, and we never really came to conclusions that there is a raya for this. So do we say that Ab Mishni is a raya? El Omer Av Menashe Bar Yaakov? No. Kigon Shaso Fundak L'Shlosh Ov De Kachavim. You don't have to go the full 9 yards and assume exactly that hechetim, so that ukimta of Bar Kapora, that the roommates in the inn were Jewish, say that they were not Jewish. And therefore, if they weren't Jewish, then it's halakha of Shimon, Shimon Elazar, but Berov Akum, but not necessarily Berov Yisrael. And this is going to... This is going to defend or protect the Sugya Sagamara and the entire system of the Gemara, that we don't go as far as to say Rov Yisrael. We're not going to say Yeush in Rov Yisrael. So the Gemara now has told us that this funduk is made up of three goyim. I wanted to point out a few Rashis to you. First of all, on the second of the wide lines, L'shloshi Yisrael, Rashi says, Bivas Achas, that the original Ukimta of Bar Kapor, if you take it literally, was three Jews together in the same inn at the same time. And the one who's Misyayish, he says, I don't know which of the other two Jews who are roommates of mine picked up the Sela and now is pocketing it. And therefore he's Misyayish. And the Gemara says, no, we're talking about a case, says Rabbi Nasha, of Shlosha Ovdei Kochom. Rashi says, Aidi dinoket Shlosha Gabi Yisrael, noket Nami Gabi Ovdei Kochom, vuadin chad ubilvad shia achron. Rashi points out that even though literally Rav Menashe says there are three goyim in the amongst the renters, no, one is enough. As long as the one was the last one to check out, the assumption is that he found the lost Sela, and he has no interest in returning it, obviously, and therefore there's Yeush. This has nothing to do with Rav Shimon ben Elazar Berov Yisrael. However, if you take a look at Tosas, Divya Maskal Shlosha, towards the end of the daf, he says, Bepachos Mishlosha Lo Mikri Rov. Tosas takes the Shlosha here of Ravanashi very literally, straightforward, it's you need a Rov. And therefore, Tosas says, if it's less than Shlosha, then there's no Rov. In other words, you need Rov Nachrim in order to say that this Aveda can be kept by the finder. And you might ask, well, why not two Nachrim? That also would be a Rov, because you only have one Yisrael and two Nachrim. Why do you have to have three Nachrim? But perhaps the answer is, according to Tosus Lishitoso, that the Balabayas, who's Jewish, also lives in the house. So that would make it two and two, two Jews and two Goyim. Therefore, you need three Goyim to tip the scale. That's how the Marsha interprets this Tosus. The Shach has an approach in Kol Shem Mishpat that there's something called a Rov HaNikar, and therefore you need, you know, you wouldn't have a Rov HaNikar unless there were three Goyim. Okay, that depends on sugyas of Rov. And the bottom line here is that there's no Chiyuv HaShavas Aveda in this case. The finder can keep it for himself because he's going to assume that this Selah belongs to the Nochri. He's the one who dropped it. And even though in fact in truth it was the Yisrael who dropped it, nevertheless he's going to be Messiah because he's going to assume that the finder is going to keep it for himself. Now, in the original Ukimta of Sholosh Yisrael, we rejected that because again it sounds like we're passing on Grim Shimon Elazar, but now Rav Nachman Omar Rava Baravua Afilu Tema Shlosh Yisrael, he's going to go back to the original Kimta of Reish Lakish Bar Kapara and take it literally as Shlosh Yisrael. And it's not that in this case the Motzi can keep it for himself because Halach Grim Shimon Elazar in Makom Rabbi Mitzuyim, even in a case of Yisrael, but for an entirely different reason, and that's going to be the Maitaima that we'll get to in just a second. But before we read the Maitaima, I just wanted to point out that we stopped prematurely in the Tosas Dimel L'Shlosha. Tosas in the second half of the short Tosas points out that the Nachrim are in the house now. If the Nachrim had left the house, then the Aveda would belong to the Baal HaBayis because he's the last one in the house. And that's Tosus Lishitoso, again, as we pointed out over and over again, that the Baal HaBayis is still living there, even during the periods of rental. And we have to assume that the various renters here, in this case, Goyim, they checked out, you know, and they cleaned out, they swept out, and made sure they weren't leaving anything behind. But the Baal HaBayis is still living there, and therefore we have to assume that he's the one who lost this Sela, and we have to return it to him. But the answer is, they're still in the Bayis, and therefore the Baal HaBayis doesn't have any claim to this object. In any event, now we're reading the Maitaima of Rabba Bar Avua. Why is it that the finder is allowed to keep it, and the loser here is going to be Misyayish? And the answer is, he's assuming, the loser, right, the Bailim, that when the finder discovers this Sela, and he doesn't know to whom it belongs, then he's going to definitely announce it. He's going to definitely be machriz it, and the one who lost it, lechora, should be able to give a simon. Again, it's hard to know exactly what a simon is on a matbea, but let's say the matbea was cracked or something, so he could give a simon. And therefore, the question is, why is there Yeush here? And even the Chachomer of Shimon Bar Elazar would agree that there's Yeush. My timer, Hahu denofel mine miyayish de meimar omar michti inish achrino lo havi ba'adei alahani, is Amri kamayu kama zimni lahajuli v'lohajuli v'hashta lahajru? So the case is where you have three Jews living in a fundak, and again, logically, you would assume that he'll be able to, the one who lost the cellar will be able to claim it from one of the two roommates of his, and this is Rov Yisrael, so why is he Mesiyash? And the Gemara answers, because the one who lost this cellar approached the two other Jews who lived simultaneously in that inn, and he asked them a number of times if they would please find or return the Aveda, and they never agreed to do so. So why do I assume at any point in the future they'll decide to do tshuva and return this Aveda? Idatayu aduri aduri niyale, if they really decided to return this Aveda, they should have done so, or they should do so now. Haidlo ahajule bidatayu lemigzale, apparently they want to pocket it for themselves. And therefore, again, even though in general, let's say you find an Aveda in a small, limited, circumscribed neighborhood where there is a limited number of people who go there, we're going to paskin in Rov Yisrael that Yechayev and Hashava. We're not going to assume that the Bailim are Mesiyash because the finder is a Jew, but he's not interested in Hashava's Aveda. He's a Ben Adam and a Hagun and so forth. So no, we're not going to go that far. That far, we're not going to accept La'alok Rav Shimon Allah's Afilu B'Rov Yisrael. But here's a different case. It's not an area or a neighborhood, but rather it's an inn where there's only two possible people, which the person who lost the identifies them. Right? The Bailam identifies these two possible candidate motzim, right? It's either, let's say it's Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Levi lost the cellar, and he knows that either Reuven picked up the cellar or Shimon picked up the cellar. And Levi, the owner of the cellar, has had an encounter with both Reuven and with Shimon, asking them to return the Aveda. They didn't do so. Obviously, Levi in his mind said, has come to the conclusion that these are Bnei Adam Sheinam Ugonim, this Reuven and Shimon. Meaning that the Baal Hachsanya, the owner of the inn, should have checked them out beforehand. And therefore they're interested in stealing it, therefore he's Mesiyash. Has nothing to do with Reb Shimon Elazar. And that's why the Mishnah paskins in this situation, this scenario, that the Motzi could keep it for himself. The Azar of Nachman Letaime, and here we find that Rav Nachman is really consistent with his own sheet, the Omer of Nachman. There's another Girsa Omer Rabbah. Ra'a Sela, now we're turning to Chavav Amid Beis. Shenofel Mishnayim, Chayev Lahachzir. If a person is a witness to a loss of a coin, of a Sela, and he knows it fell from one of two people, then he's got to return it. Now, what does this mean? My timer, after all, you'll ask, Hahu denafel minei, why isn't the person who dropped it, why isn't he Mesiyash? Lo Mesiyash, why? Meimar Omar, Michti inishachrina lahavi bada elahai. And we're trying to get into the mindset of the Bailim who lost the Sela. And again, there were only two possible people who might have lost the Sela. So let's say it's Reuven and Shimon knows that he lost the Sela. And Reuven knows that he didn't lose the Sela. So Shimon comes over to Reuven. Again, this is all what we're guessing, what we're imagining in the mindset of Shimon the Bailim. And he's saying, there's no one else who could have possibly found this Sela except for Reuven who was with me. We were only the two of us. And again, this is what Levi, who found the cell, is thinking, and he's being Mishayah, he's trying to evaluate the mindset of Shimon the Bailim. And Aminale onto the Shakle, apparently, I mean, it's logical to assume that Shimon accosted Reuven and said to him, well, you know, you must have taken it, please return the object to me. And in such a case, there's no Yeush. Now, Rashi asks the obvious question over here. Why does the Bailim, meaning Shimon, hold out, why do they have hope when they know it's Reuven, because Reuven is not responding, he's not returning it. So Rashi adds a very important point here. And that is that Shimon's mindset is that he has a claim against Reuven, which he could bring to the court. He knows that Reuven is holding on to his tzela. And even if in court we anticipate that Reuven is going to deny this claim, nevertheless, Reuven has to take a shvua, that's called the shvua's heses. And you'll see this in Rashi, three lines down from the top of the page. He says, Inikitna, Rashi says, V'eino yochali shavu v'tayna shema. Okay, we'll get back to that. That's going to be in the case where there were three possible candidates for who lost the object, meaning that Reuven and Shimon are both candidates. Levi lost it, and Levi doesn't know whether it's Reuven and Shimon. We'll get that in just a second. But Rashi, by implication, is telling us that in the previous case, where there's only Reuven and Shimon, there's no Levi, and Shimon knows that he lost it, and Shimon knows that Reuven picked it up. Shimon is not going to, he's not going to give up hope. He's not going to despair with the Yeish. He's holding out to be Tovea Reuven in a Pesdin and impose upon him a Shvuas Heses. Now you have to look at Tosis Divra Maskil Shenofal. He has a Kasha on Rashi. Of course, at the time of Bar Kapara, and that's what we're trying to interpret Bar Kapara's understanding of Mishnah, there was not a takana yet of Shvuas Heses, didn't exist. So if Rashi is saying that the Bailim, in this case we'll call him Shimon, is holding out to get his object back through Shvua by imposing a Shvua on Reuven, because Reuven is the only other candidate here, then it does make sense to put that into the words of Bar Kapara. There was no Shvuas Heses at that time, but given that kasha of Tosfos, Tosfos insists that there are other methods and ways in which Shimon could pressure Reuven and embarrass him publicly and give him tochacha until finally, hopefully, Reuven will, you know, since Reuven realizes that Shimon knows he's pocketing his Shimon's cellar, he'll finally cough it up. And there's some sort of halacha of Ein Adam Mei is Panim Fnei Bal Chovo here, and at some point Reuven is going to buckle down. So Shimon is holding out with faith, and therefore we have the ruling of Rav Nachman that if a person finds a cell and he knows that it fell from either Reuven or Shimon, he's got to assume that there's no Yesh. And if there's a Simon on the coin, he's Chayv in Hashav Savid. But that's again because the finder knows it fell from one of two people. However, Bishlosha, if the finder knows that it's one of three possible people, Eino Chayav Lahachsir. And that's going to support what we said before about Shlosha Befundik Echad, that the one who lost, the Bailim who lost it, is going to give up, he's going to be Misyayish, because he assumes that the other two people, and he knows it's one of those two, and he accosts them, they refuse to budge, and they're not flinching, they're not offering any sort of Hashavah Samfeidah, and they're interested, obviously, in Gzela. That's what Gemara spells out. Now, my time out, who did not for me, Vadim Miyaviyish, in the case of three, and this Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Levi is going to be Miyash, Meimar Om. He's going to say, Michti Trei Avabadoi, Ine Kitna Lahai Omer Lo Shekalti, Ine Lahai Lo Shekalti. If I approach Reuven, he's going to deny it. If I approach Shimon, he's going to deny it. And therefore, I'm left with no possibility of getting my lost coin back to me, and therefore he's Misyash. Of course, you could ask the question, why can't Levi, the owner, be mashbia, he should be tovea both Reuven and Shimon in court and force them to take a shvuas heses, as we said before in Rashi's frame of reference. The answer is, says Rashi, three lines down from the top of the page, Eino yochel hashbia b'tayna shema. And there he quotes a sugya in shvuas that there's no possibility of forcing a person to take a shvua with a tayna shema. The shvuas heses is limited, as is any shvua, to a tainas bari. And here, Levi doesn't know whether it's Reuven or Shimon, and therefore Levi doesn't hold out any hope. He's misyayish, and therefore the finder is allowed to keep it. Rashi is still bothered by another question, and that is, Yeush Shalomidas. So let's go back, for example, to the case where the finder saw that it fell from one of two people, and we said in that case there is no Yerush. And you'll say the following, that if there's only Reuven and Shimon is eventually going to be Mesiyash. Let's say he sues Reuven in a court of law, and Reuven in fact takes the Shuas Hesseis. At that point, Shimon is out in the cold. And there's no reason why Reuven won't take the Shvuah to be Machdish, the Taina of Shimon, because in fact Reuven is not the culprit here. He did not pocket it. It was found by Levi, by some other person. But that is Yeish Shalom Midas, meaning at the time that this third party, whoever he is, we'll call him Levi, the spectator, when he found this coin, at that moment in time, Shimon was still holding out hopes that he'll get it back from Reuven, and he wasn't Mesiyash, even though eventually he definitely will be Mesiyash. That's called Yeish Shalom Midas. We pass like Abai and Yalkut Gam that Yeish Shalom Midas lo avi Yeish. Now, what about the case where the coin fell from one of three people, and therefore Levi, the owner, is going to give up hope because he's not getting it neither from Reuven nor from Shimon, and he doesn't even have a Shvuah to hold out for. So what are we saying now? Let's say Yehuda, we'll call him the number four person on our list, he's the one who found this coin. He knows it belongs to either Reuven, Shimon, or Levi. He can pocket it for himself, assuming that the owner was Mesiyash, but the question is, when did that Yeish take place? Isn't this a case of Yeish Shalom Midas? Meaning, if Yehuda found this coin before, let's call him Levi, was aware of the fact that it fell from him, then even later on, when Levi finds out that it fell, and he knows he's not getting it back from Reuven and Shimon, and he's Mesiyash, but it still came into the hands of Yehuda, the Motzi, before Yeish took place. So Rashi answers, and it's about eight lines down from the top of the Amud, Mos made the Yad Midi Midi. Ked Rabbi Yitzchak on the Masi L'mashish B'kisa B'chol Shah. We're going to have to assume that a person checks his pockets on a constant basis, and when a coin is lost, you can bet your bottom coin that he knows about it. That's called Asui Odom Lemashvesh Bekiso Bechol Shah. Now, again, as I said over and over again, the Selah that was lost, and the question is whether it has to be returned. So, in the case of one of two, of Reuven and Shimon, the person who finds it does have to return it, and the answer has to be that it's a tzela that Yesh Bo Simon, has some sort of crack on it, or maybe you found the tzela inside a purse, and the purse has a Simon, and we said that if there's a tzela inside the kiss, you give a Simon on the kiss, you get the tzela as well, you get the bonus. But in the case of three people, and the onlooker knows that it belongs to one of three people, those are the only three possible culprits. Then we said that there is Yeush, even though he has a semen on it. And the reason for that is because, again, whoever dropped it, we'll call him Levi, knows that Reuven and Shimon are the only other two culprits here, possible finders, and neither of them are willing to cough it up. And therefore, despite the semen, he's Mesiyash. And again, there could be Yeish on a Dovr Sheish Bo Simon, as we've discussed in the past. Fine. Now, again, to reiterate, in the case where it's one of three, Levi doesn't have the wherewithal to be Mashbia, Reuven, or Shimon, because his taina is a Tainas Shema. Now, mentioned in passing in the Pnei Yeshua, he has a discussion. Why is it that the way the Gemara presents it is that when there are three and Levi asks Reuven, he approaches Shimon, they each say Lo Shakalti, I didn't find it. They could have said I found it, but it's not yours, Mr. Levi, because maybe it belongs. You know, if he's approaching or casting Reuven could say maybe it belongs to Shimon. If I was like Shimon, maybe it belongs to Reuven, and so forth. And so why do I have to give it to you, Levi? So the Pnei Yeshua insists that the Gemara assumes that, you know, if Reuven says maybe it belongs to Levi, Levi might admit he has no vested interest. He might admit that it's not his. Or, for example, if it's a Dovr Sheish Bos Simon, then we know that it's Levi's, but he's just unwilling to be machriz it. And that's what's going to generate, is going to generate the Yeush so that Yehuda can be Zoch, and it's not Yeush Lomidas, as we said on them also the Mashish Bekiso. But now we have a statement of Rava. Omar Rava, Hai di Amrit Bishloshe Nechayv Lahachzir. That din that we've established now, that if the three people, according to our presentation of Rav Nachman, then the fourth person, the finder, meaning call him Yehuda, doesn't have to return it. Lo amarn el delespe shava putul chol chad v'chad, val ispe shava putul chol chad v'chad, chayev lahachzir. In other words, the premise here in the case of three is that the owner suspects the other two guys of gzela. They're not working on his behalf to return the seller to him. And that's why he's misyayish. And that's the modus vivendi here that underlies the ruling of Rav Nach. But says Rava, but what if maybe there's a possibility that the three people are actually shutfim. They're working together, they have their own company. And Levi, therefore, when he dropped this seller, he's not going to assume in the worst case, he's not going to be a pessimist and assume that Reuven and Shimon are one of them or both of them are interested in stealing. But he thinks that one of them found it, and although right now he's refusing to give it back, maybe he's trying to be mitzayim on a temporary basis. But he Levi has full trust in his two shutvim. You don't take partners into business. You don't accept partnership. Yes, you trust your partners. So he trusts his partners, and therefore he's not misyayish. But you have to add, says Rava, the following proviso, that within the context of the shutvis, each one of the three has at least a shava pruta's worth. Again, a sella is worth a lot more than a pruta, but let's say lav dafka a sella. Let's say it's a less expensive or less valuable coin. And if that coin is worth three prutos, then maybe there's shutvim, and each shutvim has a right to demand hashava, assuming he was the one who lost it, and he's not afraid that Reuven or Shimon, the other two gentlemen here, are ganovim, are gazlonim, that are pocketing, because he's working with them. He has trust for them, even though right now they're not willing to cough it up, but they'll come around. So there's no yesh. It means that when the motzi finds this coin, there at this point in time, there's no yesh. Again, even though there's going to be yesh down the line, and that's certainly true if we assume that money has no simon on it, right? It's currency, they all look identical, but it's yesh lo midas. And that's where Rava says, hold on here. You cannot oversimplify and apply the principle of Rav Nachman in an absolute blanket way. No. If there's a possibility that each one of these three gentlemen is a shutaf on one pruta's worth, which means that he has the rights legally, through Kol Shem Mishpah monetary law, to claim hashava, to demand hashava on his pruta's worth, and in fact he lost more than a pruta, but then there's no yeish. And even if there'll be yeish later on, because he finally gives up hope, he sees that his other two gentlemen are not returning it, and he has no other way of getting it from them, and it might not even have a simon. But nevertheless, that's yeish lo midas. At the point in which you found this coin, Mr. Yehuda, as we call the fourth guy, Levi was not misyayish. He was holding out hope that his other two shutfim will in fact be machzir the aveda, and he has a right to demand hashavas aveda. He owns a pruta's worth. If he doesn't own a pruta's worth, meaning let's say this so-called sella, in inverted commas, is not worth a pruta for each one of these three, then the finder can keep it for himself, because even if there's no yeush, there's no ability or no legal right for Levi, to the rightful owner, to claim ownership. Because what are we saying? That he's not going to be misyayish because of shutvim, but what is the nature of his shutvis? It's a shutvis of less than a shava pruta. Ika diamri omarava afal gav de lesbe el shava shte prutos. Even if according to this version of Rava, the total value of the coin is, let's say, 2 prutos, and there are 3 shutfim, which means that each one of them gets less, has an ownership of less than a shavah pruta. Nevertheless, chayv lahachzir, the mitzvah shavah saved, nevertheless, kicks in. My taima, emer shutfi ninu, v'chad minaya chule, achle, limnose, gabi chavre. In other words, that should, in the case of shutfim, and that's what we're worried about here, we're concerned about the possibility that these 3 people are shutfim, it's very possible that one of the 3 shutfim, who's going to work in cahoots with the other one, because that's what shutfim are, they have nemanus, and they have dedication one to the other, he'll be mochel, his chelik in the shutfim on behalf of the owner, in such a way that the owner will definitely have rights to demand hashavas aveda. And therefore, there is a chiyuv hashava in this case. So, Bli Neder will continue here on Daf Chavav Amid Beis in the next shiur. But for now, we'll conclude the shiur. It's getting late.